Thank you, Ralph. Boys and girls, excuse me, wow. Boys and girls, it's time for Super Church. Let's give our kids a big round of applause. They're getting ready for their big program. By the way, the kids program takes place in 2 weeks, so be ready for that. That's always a big day. So invite grandma and grandpa and aunts and uncles and everybody that you can. It's going to be a great time. And get here early so you can get a good back seat. Amen? All right. All right. Do we have our Bibles today? Some of you didn't even catch that. We have our Bibles? Good. Go with me in the Scriptures to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I'm starting a brand new series today. Here we are in the Christmas season. By the way, thank you to all who decorated the church so beautifully. Wow, y'all, I love that. Yeah, can we show our appreciation to them? Thank you so much. Love it, love it, love it, love it. So here we are in the Christmas season, and I felt the Lord direct me to do something kind of creative this year for our Christmas sermon series. And the series for this month, Lord willing, will be Do You Hear What I Hear? Do you hear what I hear? I can't tell that story. Some of you know the story, but yeah, I'll tell it. I was my brother and I had a radio show when we were in college. How many of you know that's dangerous, by the way? The Anderson boys have a radio show. And again, I was a college student in my 20s. I'm not even saying I'm proud of this, but it was Christmas season. I said, well, let's do a dedication. And so I dedicated the song, Do You Hear What I Hear, to the deaf ministry at the Bible College. Yeah. So. It was so bad. Oh, I got in trouble. So so I say that. Don't ever do that. So that was just bad, bad, bad time. But so I still laugh. Anyway, so I've had to fight some different memories, but here we go. So what I'm doing, please, visitors, give me another chance, okay? So what I want to do with this series is I want to take some phrases from some popular Christmas carols and kind of use that as a backdrop for some messages that I believe God has led for me to share with you in these next few weeks. And this morning is the very first one. It's this phrase, God and sinners reconciled. God and sinners reconciled. That's from that Christmas chorus that we sang earlier, Joy to the World. And I thought it'd be a real fitting direction for us to take as we come to the Lord's table today. We're going to serve communion at the end of this message. And I thought that it would be good for us to take a look at that reconciliation that we experience that Jesus created when he went to the cross for us. And 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and in fact, we'll start in verse 14. 2 Corinthians 5, beginning in verse 14, it shows this what this whole thing about reconciliation is about. Now, we know this term reconciliation, don't we? You've got two individuals or two parties that are a distance from each other for whatever reason. Maybe it's in a negotiating thing, or there's been a falling out maybe between two people. And there's this beautiful thing that takes place when those two parties, in a healthy way, are brought back together. And that fancy word is when they are reconciled. And 2 Corinthians 5 gives us a bit of a picture of how God and sinners, like us, become reconciled. And I want to show that to you today. So if you will stand with me in honor of God's word as we read this together. I want to bless you today with God's word, and I think you're going to be blessed today and challenged. You ready? 2 Corinthians 5. If you don't have your Bible, you can follow along on the screen, okay? Beginning verse 14. For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view, though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The King James says he's a new creature. The old is gone, the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. God and sinners reconciled. Let's pray. Lord, speak to us, I pray, through your word. Speak to us, Lord God, in a way that that will change us, no matter where we are in our spiritual journeys. Speak to us, Lord God, in a way that reminds us again of all that you've done for us and all that we should do as your children. And I'll thank you in your name, and we all said amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise God. So I want to jump right into this, okay? We've got a big day, big week ahead of us, and I thought that this would be a great backdrop for us as we enter into this very important week here at Bethel, and as we come, again, as we come to the Lord's table today. So here's what I want to point out. I think this passage shows us three very important truths for us to not only consider, but to really hang on to today as we have this backdrop of the God and the theme of God and sinners being reconciled in the shadow of this incredible passage of scripture that we just read. Let me give you the first one. This morning, I want you to be reminded, first of all, of God's mercy. God's mercy. That's really what this phrase is all about, God and sinners reconciled. It's not because we earn reconciliation. The Bible's pretty clear, okay? All of us have sinned, and we've come short of the glory of God. And the wages of that sin is death. Ephesians tells us it's by grace that we're saved through faith, and that's not of ourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, so that no one can boast about it. The Bible also says that our righteousness compared to God is like filthy rags. So there's not a whole lot about us that merits being reconciled to a holy God, because we're sinful people. All of us are. No matter who you are, no matter what your experience is, no matter what your history is, every single one of us are in the same boat. Sin keeps us from God. Again, look at the first few verses that we read, verse 14. For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone, the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ. So, first of all, sin totally, totally separates us from God. So all of us have sinned, and because we have sinned, it separates us from God, period. Well, you know, maybe I'm good enough. You're not good enough. You're not. I'm not. Billy Graham is not. Think of that. Think of that holy grandma that you know. You know who she, you know who she, don't point, but and she's not. She's not good enough. And that's really the message of Christmas, if you think about it. The message of Christmas is the fact that God saw the lost state of man and knew that mankind could not save himself. And so God sent his Son to become like one of us and live a holy life, which none of us can ever claim that we've done, and to be killed, murdered, tortured at the end of his life, not for any sin that he committed, but this holy, spotless Son of God died for what we've done. See, you cannot separate the Christmas tree from the cross. They really go together. And you'll probably hear me say this a lot this month, but the greatest present, the greatest gift that we could receive is not found underneath a tree. But the greatest gift that you could ever experience hung on a tree, hung on a cross, and that's Jesus. See, sin totally separates us from God, but the cross totally reconciles us back to God. We couldn't do it, so Jesus said, I will do it instead. I'll live the life that they couldn't live. I'll die the death that they couldn't die. I will raise from myself from the dead so that they can be reconciled back to a holy God. God and sinners reconciled. It begins with a cross. It begins actually with a manger. And it continues to a cross. And then it flows out to us today. God and sinners reconciled. That's not just a fancy phrase in a carol. That is all about God seeing the lostness of man and giving his very best to us so that we might respond to that love and give our lives to him. I wonder today, do you find yourself here in this room, or maybe you're listening online, and today there's sin in your life. You're at a place spiritually where you're not right with God. That there are some things that are standing in the way between you and this holy, loving Savior who died for you, who lived for you. Today is the day. Today's the day for you to experience God and you being reconciled. That comes this way. If we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in our hearts that he rose from the dead, the Bible says we will be saved. All who call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. It's a matter of saying, Jesus, I ask you for forgiveness of my sin. But I'm not here just to say sorry. I not only want you to be my Savior, I need you to be my Lord. Which means you're in control, not me. Which I don't live each day to please myself, I live each day to please you. I make you my Lord, I make you my Savior. Folks, that's when a lost human being is reconciled with a holy, incredible God. Because Jesus made that happen when he died on the cross. Can you give God thanks today for that? That's so good. Thank you, Jesus. Do you hear what I hear? God is reconciling sinners to Him. That's God's mercy. But secondly, today, it doesn't stop there. Secondly, we're reminded not only of God's mercy, but we're reminded of our ministry. We're not only reminded of God's mercy, which is incredible, but we're also reminded of our ministry, that we are supposed to do something with this. Listen, Christian, your existence is not just to say a quick prayer and go to church and just wait to die. What a terrible existence. I'm a Christian, I'm just waiting to die. I've met people like that. Be free from that. You don't exist just so you could die someday. You exist so that you can live for Jesus. And we have a ministry. Oh, I don't want to go to Africa like Sherry does. I don't like planes. I don't want to be a preacher because I'm not talking about that kind of ministry. Okay, that's vocational ministry, and I'm not talking about that. Your ministry, our ministry, is the same. And it's found in verse 18 and 19. Look on the screen or look in your Bibles. It says, all this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ. And look at this. And he gave us the ministry of reconciliation. He gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed, look at verse, end of verse 19. He has committed to us the message of reconciliation. You have a ministry. And there wasn't even a sign-up sheet. You didn't have to respond online. You don't even have to go through a training course. You don't have to go through a background check. This ministry, we have been given the ministry of reconciliation. So we don't just become reconciled to God. God says, great, we're reconciled. Now I'm giving you the ministry of reconciliation. So in other words, as followers of Jesus, we have been given the opportunity to share the greatest message of all time. That's the ministry. The ministry of reconciliation. It's been given to you. That there are people around you. There are people in your community. Whether your community is in an apartment building or in a neighborhood or wherever you might be. God has given you this ministry of reconciliation. This God and sinners reconciled, it has to be shared. It can't be kept for ourselves. We don't accept this incredible gift and say, no, you can't have it. We can't do that. That there are people that need this. And you know who they are. I'm not blowing you away here. You're surrounded by people every week, or at least you should know of at least one person who needs Jesus. If you don't, you need to get out more. I'm just saying. They're at the store. They're at the gas station. They're in the neighborhood. I mean, they're all over the place. And you, by living this thing out, and when the opportunity comes for you to share it, to share this thing with a lost and hurting world, that, hey, there is an answer for you. You're not so far from God that he can't reach you and you can't reach out to him. You're not such a failure that there's no hope for you. Some people need to hear, you have not messed up so much that Jesus' blood can't cover it. People need to know that if everyone around you has rejected you, there is a God who loves you, sent his son to die for you, and he cares about you, and he will never leave you, and he will never forsake you. There are some people that need to know that, and it can't just be the preacher and his fancy sermons with the 3 points in the same letter. It's got to be all of us with this ministry of reconciliation, that we realize that there are some people that are hurting, and we just might be able to point out to somebody that they can be reconciled to a holy God. He can use you. Reconciliation doesn't just happen on Sunday morning. It can happen every day. Why do we do these crazy ideas like the giveaway? You know how much work that is? It is. It's worth it. It's worth it. Not only are we blessing people physically, but there are people who are seeing eternity changed because they sit in a white tent and they respond to this message that Jesus loves me and he will give me another chance. And I make him my Lord and my Savior. That's why we do this stuff. We don't do this to make our church bigger. If that's what you're looking for, I got news for you. That's not always going to happen. We do this to make the kingdom bigger. Jesus said, I'll build my church. But I'm interested in building the kingdom. We have this ministry of reconciliation. My question to you is, are you embracing this ministry? Are you sharing your faith? Are you obsessed with your personal testimony? Are you obsessed with your witness when you're out there? Or do our lives demonstrate one thing and then our Sunday morning attendance demonstrates something else? God would say that when you leave this place, you are, as the scripture said, you are Christ's ambassador. You are representing him. We have this ministry. We see God's mercy. We see our ministry. I'm going to close with this. I do want to talk about the message. We see God's mercy. We see our ministry. And then there's this message. There's so many ways to share Christ. So many ways. And I love all the creative ways that we can use to do it. But I take a look at 2 Corinthians 5, verses 20 and 21, and I'm challenged by these verses. But then God kind of, he led me down, I won't call it a detour, but almost a sidestep as I was finishing this out. Verses 20 and 21 say, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors. We just said that. As though God were making his appeal through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. So here's what we know. This message, it must be proclaimed, right? We got to share it. We got to share it. And this Saturday, as a church, we'll be sharing it. But it doesn't have to be a church event for you to proclaim this incredible message that God and sinners must be reconciled. So we've covered that, but not only should this message be practiced, but it should, or proclaimed, but it also needs to be practiced. I want you to hear me. And don't cash out on me here. But I believe that our earthly reconciliation is an illustration to the world of our heavenly reconciliation. Let me say it again. I believe that reconciliation in our earthly relationships, I'm talking to Jesus followers here right now. I believe our reconciliation in our earthly relationships is an illustration, or should be an illustration, of our reconciliation with our heavenly relationship with the Son of God. They go together. They're not compartmentalized. They're not separate. If we say, I am reconciled to God, but I don't like anybody. I hate people. We have a problem. We have a problem. We're about to come to the Lord's table. We're about to serve communion. This table is a table of reconciliation. And how do I know that? Well, 1 Corinthians, we just read 2 Corinthians. So if you go to Paul's first letter to this church, and by the way, both of these letters are to church people. In 1 Corinthians 11, verses 27 through 29, it says, so then whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord. Everyone, look at these verses closely. Everyone ought to examine themselves before they eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For those who eat and drink without discerning the body of Christ eat and drink judgment on themselves. What's interesting is that all my life, I've grown up believing that if I took communion, but I didn't ask God to forgive me for stealing a cookie, I was going to get chicken pox, or I was going to get sick, or maybe even die before church ended. And I don't want to be flippant, okay? I think there's room for us to say, God, before I come to your table, I need to be right before you. I think there's merit to that, and I think that's important. But I don't think it ends there. See, because you, look at the verses again. You are the body of Christ. Did you know that? We are the body of Christ. So if we take the cup and eat the bread without discerning the body of Christ, the Bible says that we eat and drink judgment on ourselves. See, we were all excited when we were talking about God reconciling us to himself, right? But now reconciling ourselves with other people, that's different. Because we have to look at them. Because they ain't God. They might think they're God, but they ain't God. They drive us nuts. They hurt us. They're mean. I just don't like them. And so we have all these things that we use as excuses. I'm going to use that word, excuses, for not making an effort to be reconciled in our earthly relationships. Now, I know, I'm going to go to the other side. I know there's a lot of validity to having healthy boundaries, okay? For example, if somebody, every time you see them, they punch you in the face, okay? Maybe a phone call is better. Okay? So be smart about this. So I give you that funny extreme example just to say that having healthy boundaries is wise. I get it. But I'm talking about the body of Christ. Okay? And let me give you three really dangerous opinions as we close this thing out. Because some people might say, well, first of all, you know what, Pastor, I'm not even needed in this church. I have no place here. I can't do anything. I can't preach. I can't sing. I can't ush. And I would tell you this, that you're buying into a lie that somehow makes you think that you have to be a celebrity in order to be a servant. That you have to be seen in order to be effective for the kingdom of God. I've told you this before. There are things that have gone on in this building this morning that none of you have seen, that had they not flowed just right, this morning would have been a disaster. You don't see it. You don't recognize it. but it's vital.
And Paul goes there in 1 Corinthians 12. And follow the screen. Just as a body, though one has many parts, but all of its parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, we're all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now, if the foot would say, because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear would say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. So please don't ever come to me and say, I can't sing, so I can't do anything. Oh, come on. I can't get in front of people. I hear that so many times. I don't want you to get in front of people. I just want you to serve. Because I can't do this, I'm not effective. I don't have an electric personality like Pastor Phil does. I'm not as adorable. Okay, I get that. I get that. I understand that, and I agree with you. But listen, I'm being facetious. You don't have to have this dazzling personality to be effective in the kingdom. I need a lot more people praying than I need people speaking. I really do. I need people that are willing to serve when no one's looking. That's what the body needs. Not everybody sees that, but God does. But here's another opinion. Not only, I'm not needed, but this one's dangerous, and don't you ever let me hear you say this. I don't need you. I don't need you. Paul goes on, the eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you, and the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and the parts that we think are less honorable we treat with special honor, and the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty. Well, our presentable parts need no special treatment, but God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for one another. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ. Verse 27, you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. I'm 51 years old. Things hurt now. I'm serious. Wow. My brother turns 50 in April, and I said, I hope you like ibuprofen, pal. It's crazy. Some of you know what I'm talking about. You'll have I got a disc in my neck that's all wacky. And so when that flares up, just this little disc, then it'll make my arm numb or sore, and out of nowhere, I'm like, ugh! And my son's like, is he having a stroke? What's going on? It's just my neck, son. It's crazy how one part of your neck, don't send me emails about what to do about my neck, okay? I've heard it all, okay? I love you. God, just pray for Pastor, okay? And so it's wild that one small part of my body can affect so many things. So when one part of my body hurts, all my body hurts. When one of us hurts, we should all hurt. She had it coming. Serious. And even if she did, you don't need to be saying that. If one of us rejoices, we should all rejoice. Don't get jealous because someone gets blessed and you don't. We're his body. And this whole picture of reconciliation to God provides us with this umbrella where we need to fight for reconciliation with one another. And I know what some of you are saying. Well, it's not my fault. Yeah, I'll go there. I'm not at fault. They better come to me. Because I'm the innocent party. They were the jerk face, not me. They were in the wrong, not me. Well, Jesus went there during the Sermon on the Mount. And to me, it's one of the most powerful verses in Scripture. Matthew 5, I believe it's verse 23. He said, therefore, if you're offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be, oh, there's that word again. First go and be reconciled to them. Then go worship. Isn't that crazy? Jesus said, if you're in the middle of a worship service and you remember that there is somebody there who has a problem with you, not that you did anything wrong, Jesus said, be willing to leave that gift at the altar and go and be reconciled. Jesus put a greater, this is going to freak some of you out because this is so against how you've been raised. But Jesus put a greater emphasis on reconciliation between brothers and sisters in Christ than he did on worshiping Christ. He said the priority is reconciliation. Please don't sing about your reconciliation to God if you have no desire to be reconciled to your brothers and sisters in Christ. Why? Because you are the body of Christ. So that takes me back to 1 Corinthians 11. And I really mean it now. We're going to close. So then whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord. Everyone ought to examine themselves before they eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For those who eat and drink without discerning the body of Christ, without discerning the body of Christ, eat and drink judgment on themselves. I don't want that, do you? I don't want that. Do we believe all the Bible is real? Well, then let's obey that. Let's obey that. Well, Pastor, you don't understand. I'm not going to try to understand you. I get it. I'm not minimizing your hurt. But please stop maximizing it. Let me say that again. I'm not here to minimize your hurt. But please don't maximize it. Don't make that as a license to ignore what God's word has to say. Don't make that as a license to treat people badly. Don't make that as a license to do whatever you want to do and ignore what the Holy Spirit's saying to you. Let's come to God's table in a healthy way. Here's my three questions. Ushers, can you prepare yourselves, please? Number one, have you been reconciled to God? Have you been reconciled to God? If not, I'm going to give you a chance to today. Before we hand out a tray, have you been reconciled to God? Number two, have you accepted this ministry of reconciliation? Are you sharing this incredible message with your life and with your words? And number three, have you been reconciled to your brother or sister in Christ? When you get home today, maybe the most holy thing you can do, because it certainly isn't going to be watching the Browns play. So maybe today, I shouldn't have said that right before communion. But maybe the most holy thing you can do is make a phone call. Write an email. Schedule coffee. And just say, I just want to get things right. It might mean you may need to say, I'm sorry. Maybe it's just a misunderstanding that has gone on for years. That could be the most holy thing you do, and it's not even in the church. I want to keep those three questions up there for you. One, have you been reconciled to God? Number two, have you accepted this message of reconciliation? Number three, have you been reconciled with your brothers and sisters? This table is a table of reconciliation. As we come to it, let's see if God and sinners have been reconciled and if we as his body have been reconciled to one another. Will you join me in prayer? Father, your word is so powerful.
And I ask you that you would speak to us. So, Lord, I pray that you and your Holy Spirit would convict us in such a way that we would be led closer to you. God, that you would put an urgency within us to take on this ministry of reconciliation to a lost world. And Lord God, I pray that we'd be reconciled to one another. No one looking around, please. I want to ask, are you here today and you don't know Jesus? Are you here today and you're not reconciled to God? Is there something in the way between you and Jesus? Today is the day. I will not embarrass you, I promise, but I want to pray for you because this is the day that God has ordained for you to change that. He died for you. Now is the day for you to accept this reconciliation. You're here today and you're not right with God, and today you want to be right with him. Before you even touch a piece of the bread, before you take the cup in your hand, you want to be right with him. If that is you, I'm going to ask you to simply just slip your hand up and put it right back down. That's all I'm going to ask you to do. I want to pray for you. You're not right with God, and you want to be reconciled back to God. If that is you, please respond right now. I want to believe in God. Thank you very much. Reconciling us back to you. Thank you for your work on the cross. In the name of Jesus. Ushers, I'm going to ask you to hand out your elements. Lord, I'm going to ask you to hold the cup and hold the bread until everyone's been served. We're going to take this together. As that's happening, I want you to ponder these questions that are on the screen. And take it on the ministry of reconciliation and share it with them. Hallelujah. Thank you. God, may we have an urgency to live as the body of Christ. We love you, Lord. God, together we pray for this week. God, as we feed and clothe and bless probably hundreds of people this weekend, I pray, God, that people see eternity changed for themselves. And God, that you would bless us with strength, protection,